Every second, two people die, okay? By the time you put your head on your pillow tonight, another 150,000 people have taken their last breath, walked off into eternity, heaven and hell will speak, okay? So as you sit here, two people just died, and two people just died. And people keep walking out of here. But it hit me one day that's me, right? One day that's every one of us. And I needed to figure out where I was going when I took that very last breath and checked out of this place. I needed to find this out, okay? Because it was just way too important. So I wanted to start studying different religions and try to figure out what the right answer was. But part of the process that happened was every religion, if you ever study, I was talking to a young man who's taking world religions at UGA this week in a coffee shop. And every religion comes down to a book, okay? The Christians come down to the Bible. The Muslims come down to the Quran and the Hadith. The Hindus have the Vedas, right? Jews have the Torah and the Talmud. Mormons have the Book of Mormon and the Pearl of Great Price, right? So it just hit me, wait a minute, I just need to find out which book is correct, and then once I got the right book, then I can know what's going to happen when I take my last breath. Does that make sense? It's actually very simple and very logical whenever you decide to search this out and do that, okay? So the question is the Bible true? Because that's what all of Christianity comes down to, this book, okay? Everything we're saying, all these verses right here, the verses Sadiq was using, it all comes down to this book, okay? So if you study history, the Bible is historically accurate. They've never found one historical mistake anywhere in that book. In the Middle East, they do archaeological digs. Every time they dig something up, it proves one more time something true in this book. They never dig up things that prove it untrue, okay? They always prove it to be true. Now, those are really good and that's solid, but I wanted to know if there was something else that kind of set this book apart from all the other books out there. And it hit me when I studied this as something called fulfilled prophecies, okay? So do you know, if I say the word prophecy, do you know what I mean by that? Say the word prophecy? Okay, there's a couple definitions to it, but the basic definition is something said today that predicts something in the future, okay? Now, any of us can do that, right? Any of us can just predict something in the future, right? Remember the old magazines, the Star magazines, when you check out of the supermarkets, and that Gene Dixon had all these predictions. Anybody can predict things. The question is, can you predict something 100% correct? That's the question. That's what's called a fulfilled prophecy. So as I began to study this, in the Bible, there's over 2,500 future predicted events. 2,500 in this book. Ready for this? Over 2,000 of those have already come true to this point in time. Already 2,000 of those have come true at this point in time. In the life of Jesus, there's 300 prophecies, 300 predictions on who the Messiah is going to be. Well, guess what? If God is God and He predicts something, then it has to come what? It has to come true. If it doesn't come true, then you don't need to pay attention to this book at all. You don't even need to pay attention to it, okay? So I began to study this. 700 years before Jesus was born, in the book of Micah, it was written what town the Messiah would be born in. Okay, do you know what town that was? That was Bethlehem, and Jesus was born in Bethlehem, yet predicted 700 years before his birth and knew that. In the book of Zechariah, 500 years before the time of Christ, literally 5 centuries before that, it said that this Messiah would be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Okay? Did that happen, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, it did. And what was his name? His name was Judas. He actually sold, and this was predicted 5 centuries before, yet it came true to the minutest of detail. Then 400 years before the crucifixion of Christ, okay, 400 years before crucifixion was even invented, King David predicted the Messiah would die by the piercing of his hands and his feet. And that was 400 years before they even invented crucifixion, okay? I began to study this, and there's just like all these prophecies that were predicted and came true, okay? So here's one way to look at that, all right? So if 8 of those prophecies came true, it's the same thing as if you took the state of Texas, okay? You put it 2 feet deep in silver dollars, okay? And you painted one of them red. And you mixed all of those silver dollars up all over the place. Mixed them all up, okay? Chris, I'm going to choose you. So we put Chris blindfolded on the Louisiana border. okay? He can walk as far as he wants to. What are the odds, Chris, what are the odds that you're going to pick up the red silver dollar? What are the odds? It ain't happening. Okay? That's just for eight of them to come true, okay, in one person. Yet, we have over 300 in the life of Christ that came true. We have over 2,000 that came true so far in the Bible, okay? And that was only eight is the one red silver dollar, okay? Full stop. Full stop. You can trust this book. You can trust this book. God has given you plenty of evidence you can trust this book. Okay? Now, once I know this book to be true, and there's a ton of more evidence beyond that, okay? God actually makes it nice and simple. It says there's a heaven or a hell when you walk out of here. Now, we can choose which of these places that we want to go, okay? Got my verses up there? Simon's got me. So John 17:3. Okay, so watch what this says. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I was talking with Vincent in a coffee shop on Wednesday, and he asked me the question, okay, I've heard about heaven, I know what people describe about it, but he said, what is the best part of heaven? I said, oh, that's easy. That's John 17:3. The best part of heaven is being with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says God is love, and he's going to encapsulate you with this love forever and ever and ever. Give me that today. Give me that today. I'll take that today.
Yes.
Right? When you take that today, that is the best part of heaven. There's no better way to describe that. But the Bible also says there's a place called hell when you walk out of here. Revelation 20, verse 15. And Jesus saith unto them, Revelation 20, verse 15, whoever has found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay? Now, is there a place called hell when we die? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. In my times of meeting people, witnessing the people, I have met tons of people who had near-death experiences. I have met 35 people that flatlined that actually saw the hell experience, okay? One of the common denominators they always describe is a lake of fire. They can feel this intense heat off this lake of fire. Okay, first thing that tells me, one, just exactly what the Bible says. Two, this is no game. This is no joke. This is serious business. It's a serious business. We need to take it seriously, okay? So then my question became, what separates who would get the heaven or who would get the hell? I was really intrigued with all this. So one easy way to look at is just look at the Ten Commandments, okay? You ever told a lie before? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, if you tell one lie, what would that make you? Make me a liar. Okay, very simple. You ever stole something before? I had someone hesitate the other day. I was asking her, you ever stole something? She said, you ever cheat on a test in school? She said, yeah. I said, you stole an answer off someone else's test and put it on your test. She said, good point, okay? If you steal one thing, what does that make you?
A thief.
You ever been angry with someone before? Remember, Jesus said, even being angry without cause is the same as committing murder in your heart. That he's checking insides as well as outsides. That's fascinating to think about. I've done a lot of prison ministry in my life, but sometimes, a few times I've been able to get on death row. And when you're on death row and you're talking to murderers, you find out something very common amongst murderers, okay? Anger first, action second. They got mad first over their wife over something and shot and killed their wife. They got angry with a buddy over a dice game, knifed the buddy dead. It was always an inside that led to an outside action. Okay? Interesting to think about, all right? But now look what James chapter 2 says. James chapter 2, verse 10. Whoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So if you break one of the Ten Commandments, it's like you broke what? All of them. I'm like, wait a minute now. If that's the standard God has for us, that at that point means 8 billion of us have broken that standard, correct? Okay, now my wheels are spinning now. If 8 billion have broken this, but I want to go to heaven, it seems like he wants to get me to heaven, what do I have to do to get to that point? Okay, so what is the solution, all right? So we're going to walk through and do that. Okay, so I want you to grab your Bibles. We're going to go through a few of the verses in the scriptures, okay? So grab your Bibles. So remember, last time I was here, I gave you two words of advice when you open up your Bible. Be what? What did I say?
Careful.
Be careful. Okay, this is the most dangerous book in the history of the world. This has changed lives for thousands upon thousands of years. This book has changed countries when you study history. It's the most dangerous book in the world. That's why it's denigrated left and right all the time, all across the world. College students tell me how the book is denigrated in their classrooms on college campuses and stuff like that. Dangerous book. Okay, so we're about to open it, so be careful. There might be some verses here that are going to hit you pretty hard, all right? But that's what the Word of God does, okay? All right, so open your Bible. We're going to go to Romans chapter 5. So New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Go to Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to start in verse 6. So Romans 5, verse 6. All right? Romans 5, verse 6. And everybody there? Okay, good. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. So what's it saying here is Jesus is dying for the ungodly, the sinners. Okay, let's see if we can figure out why. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure a good man, someone even dare to die. So you might die for a good person, but you're probably not going to die for a bad person. It's kind of what it's implying here, right? Now watch verse 8. But God, interesting, he didn't wait until we, quote unquote, became good or good enough, okay? He died for us while we were still sinners. We need to figure out why he did that, okay? And it's going to come down to what those young kids were singing about in that song from 1 Corinthians 13. What was the main word they were singing about right there?
Love.
It's all about love. When you break it down, the kids had it correct, 1 Corinthians 13. It all comes down to love when you study this, okay? Verse 9, much more than now being justified by his blood, keep the word blood in your head because it's all going to come back to that as you put these pieces together. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. So there is a wrathful side of God. All I remember as a young kid back in the day, I didn't want the wrathful side of my mom and dad when I was acting a fool. And I was acting a fool for a good stretch of my life, okay? If I didn't want mom and dad's wrath, I sure do not want the wrath of God, okay? And matter of fact, he really doesn't want to give you the wrath, his wrath. He wants you to be right with him when you die, which is even goes right back to love one more time. Verse 10, watch what it says. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more being reconciled when we should be saved by his life. So the death of Christ reconciles us to God, then we're saved by the life of Christ. Okay, so stay right there. Pop up for me, Simon, Leviticus 17, verse 11. Now watch what this says. This is in the Old Testament, so this is the Jewish scriptures. All right, watch what it says. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. So God is telling us right from the start of the Bible that there has to be a blood sacrifice for our sins to be right with him. Now watch. Go to the New Testament, 1 John 1. And it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What does the word all mean?
All.
All means all. That's a very easy word. I like that one. Okay? All means all. So if he says, I'm going to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, how much unrighteousness will you be cleansed from?
All.
Oh, nice and simple. He made it nice and simple for us. Okay? Simon, Colossians 2, verse 14. And it says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So what God did was he took your sin, he took my sin, he took the sin of 8 billion people and nailed it to the cross. So when he died on the cross for the sins, how many sins would that cover?
All
everywhere of all time. Now just think about that for a second. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God's desire is to take your sin and remove it so far away from him, even God can't see it. Who's here, who's been to Fort Walton Beach, Destin, or Panama City? Who's been down there before at some point, okay? You ever sit on the beach and hang out on the beach, right, and do that, okay? Do you know if you look right across the water, just right across the water, Acapulco, Mexico sits right over there. It's just right across the water. But you can't see it because of the perspective of our eyes, the perspective of sight. It's sitting right over there. Okay? But you can't see it. That's actually what God is saying. I, God, will take your sin, put it so far away from me as God that I can't see it. Wait a minute. Is God all-knowing?
Yes.
He's all-knowing, and he says, I'm going to take your sins and get so far rid of it, it will never come to my mind again as God. Y'all, that verse should blow your mind. Okay? That is fascinating, and that's how much he loves each one of us and wants to extend that love to us through his son, okay? I was in a restaurant 2 weeks ago. I walk in, this waitress walks up, Holly, and she looks at me and said, Mark, I've been waiting for you to come back. I said, okay. I said, why have you been waiting for me to come back? I got some questions for you. I said, okay, fire away. Okay, so sometimes you witness to somebody, you might get to water your own seed one day with somebody, all right? Okay, Mark, now this is a young lady. She's had addiction issues. She's been clean for 5 years. She's on the right track. She said, Mark, I know Jesus died for my past sins and my current sins, but what about my future sins? And I was using some of these verses, and it wasn't connecting, and I kept saying, Mark, I know, past sins, what about my future sins, though? Then all of a sudden, I said to her, I said, Holly, remember something. When Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins 2,000 years ago, all your sin was what? Future. All your sin was future. And the light bulb went off. She got it. She totally got it, okay? And you can see the freedom in her face and realize, okay, it's underneath the blood of Christ and I'm free now in Christ, because it was all future at the point when that happened. It's fascinating to see that right there, okay? So when people wrestle with certain things like Holly did, all right, our book has the answers, all right? We want to give that to people so they're getting to have that freedom in Christ to live for him in the days ahead to do that, okay? John 19:30 says, when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So what he's saying is, when it was finished on the cross, there's nothing else that needs to be done for your sin. Nothing else. You can't do some good works and earn it, okay? Nothing else. It is what? Finished. And that was the point of the cross, that he was going to finish the sacrifice for sins for all time when that happened on the cross. When I was a young kid, I grew up Catholic, and I remember, I believe I was late elementary school, might have been in middle school, but I remember I was looking and reading the paper and talking to some people in church, and one of the popes had died. And do you remember back in the day when we used to take leaflets and tack and nail leaflets to telephone poles, where you go around and there'd be all those leaflets on telephone poles back in the day? Well, in Rome, they tacked all these leaflets. And it said, pray for the repose of the soul of Pope so-and-so, so that he gets out of purgatory. Pray for the repose of the soul so he gets out of purgatory. Now, purgatory is not in the Bible, but it's a Catholic teaching. It's kind of a middle ground that all your sins haven't been forgiven yet, and then when they're cleansed, you can actually go to heaven. Now, I was sitting there as a little kid. I was reading this. I love to think. I was like, wait a minute. If the main man didn't go straight to heaven, this little kid's in trouble. I'm in trouble if the Pope didn't get there right away. But see, the Pope forgot something. When Jesus Christ says, it is finished, it means it is finished. There's nothing else that needs to be done to be cleansed of our sins and do that, okay? John chapter 5, okay? John chapter 5, verse 24. And I'll just read it to you. John chapter 5, verse 24. Watch what this says. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my word, again, we're going through the word of God, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So when you have God, you have everlasting life, and you've passed from death unto life. Okay? Now watch this. Okay. Stephen, are you born again? Are you saved, Stephen? Yes, I know that. Okay, talked to this young man too many times. Okay, he's saved. But it says when he committed to Jesus Christ, he's already passed over for everlasting life. But I see him sitting right there. We were just talking about him studying law and how he's witnessing the people at law school in Georgia State. But I see him sitting right here. How can you have passed from death unto life Okay, but if you're still here right now, that's the point. Spiritually, I'm already on the other side. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I am gone when I take my last breath. I know exactly where I go because I've already passed from everlasting life, okay, to everlasting life. But that also teaches you something, okay? If it's everlasting life, that means you couldn't lose your salvation. Because it's what? Everlasting. That's exactly right. If it wasn't everlasting, then you could actually lose your salvation. But that's this whole point of the verse here, right? Because I'm not trusting in what Mark is going to do. It is finished. I'm trusting what Christ is going to do. So that's when I know, if I ever show up at Stephen's funeral, okay, be sad a little bit, but be happy in a great, 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 great way, because I know I see him again once I see Jesus Christ first on the other side, and then see Stephen and everybody else after that. You see the hope you can have, that you don't have to be scared about this life and frightened what's going to come, whatever's going to happen on April 8th with an eclipse. My goodness, who cares, okay? There's just lights up there in the sky, right? But shouldn't we be sharing our faith during that time and reaching people for this and doing that? Now watch, I go to Ephesians 2. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not on works, lest anyone should boast. Okay? See, he's saying you can't get to heaven by works. Because, watch this, if you got to heaven by works, you would brag about what you did for Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. How do I know that to be true? Talk to the male species down here who's accomplished anything. And they always want to talk about what they accomplished. Okay? They forget to tell you what mom and dad taught them as a kid, or what a teacher taught them as a kid, or the article they read that gave them the big idea. They talk about what they did. When we get to heaven, we're not going to talk about what we did. We're going to talk about what he did on the cross for us forever and ever and ever. Okay? Fascinating to think about. Now, go to your Bibles, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. So if you're Romans, just roll ahead just a little bit. And we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 15. So when people tell you, or they ask you, what's the gospel? Easiest way to do it is 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Okay? 1 Corinthians 15, we'll go 1 through 4. Awesome. You got 1 through 4 up there for me? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15. Back up a little bit, back up one more. You got 1 through 4? Okay. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. So you see it in your Bible. Turn there, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Watch what it says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Okay, do we need some good news right about now? Yes or no?
Yes,
okay. But remember, this is so far beyond good news. This became great news the moment of the resurrection, for sure. Okay, this is great, great, great news. Which I preached unto you. Paul was sharing this with people. And you also received where you stand. Watch verse 2. By which also you were saved. He's saying you're saved by this gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. The word vain means just empty or worthless, okay? Verse 3. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. Here we go. This is the gospel. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. So if it's according to the scriptures, that means this would be fulfilled. Exactly what we said at the beginning. See how it all fits together? Kind of just giving you like some jigsaw puzzle pieces and showing how they all fit perfectly together, that you know what you believe and do that. Verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. All right? So here is something that is very key. He rose from the dead according to the scriptures. All right? So this is also a predicted event that he was going to rise from the dead. All right, and the resurrection. Now, simple statement, stick this one in your head. All of Christianity hinges upon the resurrection. All of Christianity hinges upon the resurrection. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, he is not the Savior of the world. He is not who we're looking for. Okay? If his bones are still in the tomb, you got to keep searching. All right? But he says that all his hinges upon the resurrection. All right, so as we wrestle with this and think about this, remember, Muhammad didn't rise from the dead, Buddha didn't rise from the dead, Zoroaster didn't rise from the dead, Shinto didn't rise from the dead. The scriptures say Jesus rose from the dead. Now, that could be true, or that could be what? It could be false. Okay, so we should want to look at a little bit of evidence to back that up, because everything comes down to the resurrection. Okay, so let's go look at a couple things. All right, verses 5 and 6, there we go. And he that was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12, after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some have fallen asleep. And fallen asleep there just means in the King James, and it means death. They have died. They've fallen asleep. And actually, I think fallen asleep is a great word for death in the Bible. A great, great word, okay? Because when you fell asleep last night, what'd you do this morning? You woke up. And so if I'm at Stephen's funeral one day, okay, he fell asleep, but he's going to wake up on the other side with the Lord Jesus Christ over there and do that, okay? I think it's a great word for death, actually, do that. So one Paul is saying here, Paul's the writer, we have living witnesses. Paul's saying, if you don't believe me, go talk to all the other people that saw him rise from the dead too. So remember, when Jesus died on the cross publicly, this wasn't some hidden little event in a little small town that nobody saw. It was on the main thoroughfare, the talk of the town. Everybody had been talking about this guy who said he was the Messiah, okay? And everyone saw him die publicly. Now, some of these people actually saw him after he rose from the dead and do that, all right? So is that eyewitness testimony good enough? Y'all know where Decatur, Georgia is, right? And I was over there, I got selected for jury duty one time, and I'm in a court case over there. So we're sitting on the jury, and this guy had stolen some stuff, and they keep bringing up all this circumstantial evidence, and I'm sitting there saying, man, give me one eyewitness, just one eyewitness that I saw him walk in there, snatch the laptop, and go out the door. Just give me one eyewitness. That's what I was looking for, right? Because interesting, if you ever study eyewitness testimony, eyewitnesses can be wrong, all right? But typically the highest evidence in a court of law is an eyewitness testimony of somebody that you knew, someone that you know, okay? So if I'm at the mall and a guy came in and stole 3 handbags off the kiosk there and ran away, I can describe him to the officer. But if I said, hey officer, that guy's name is John, he's my coworker. I've been working with him for 3 years now and he just stole 3 handbags. Officer, go get that guy. Okay? See, now that's good eyewitness testimony of somebody that you knew. Now, did people know who Jesus Christ was at this time? Yes or no? Yes, he was the talk of the town. Everybody's talking about this event, this guy, what's going on? Is the Messiah finally come for the Jews and the whole world to do that, all right? But guess what? There's more evidence than just that. When they put the stone in front of the tomb, they put a Roman seal upon it. And if you broke the seal, you would get just a tad little bit of trouble with the Roman government, all right? So there was a Roman guard that was guarding it. Now, you read in your Bible, Roman guard. That guard, most history says, was 16 men, okay? Rock solid men of Rome. Let's not say men of God. And rock solid, and they're protecting the tomb. If they let somebody break the seal, they were actually crucified upside down. Those 16 people ain't letting nobody near that tomb. Yet the seal was broken, okay? And the stone was moved. Ready for this? The 2-ton stone was moved up a hill and off to the side. Can little tiny followers of Jesus Christ do that? Nope, that is more evidence. Something supernatural just occurred there and did that, okay? Other thing to think about is you couldn't preach an empty tomb in Jerusalem for 1 hour. Because all they had to do was take you back to the tomb and show you the body in the tomb, or show you Jesus' body they took out of it, right? You couldn't preach it for an hour, yet they preached it. It's been preached for 2,000 years now, okay? The other way to look at it is the changed lives of the disciples. Something changed their lives, all right? Remember the difference here. The disciples, almost every one of them, went to their death because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But what did they say? We saw him walk here, we saw him buried, and we saw him rise from the dead. Here's the difference. If you find out that I would die for Jesus Christ, or someone here died for Jesus Christ, someone in Nigeria, what a country right now, just crazy persecution in Nigeria right now, okay? We die for what we believe. The difference is they would have died for something they what? They knew it. And at the point of death, you can renounce Jesus Christ and walk over to the other side. It happens all the time. Right? They never denied Christ to their death because we saw it with our eyes. They would not deny the resurrection Christ. Okay? So, go to verse 14. Now, watch what happens here in verse 14. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. What he's saying is, if the tomb isn't empty, put the Bible to the side, go find the right answer. If it's empty, is the evidence there enough for you to put your faith in? If it's there, okay, then you can trust what Jesus Christ did. Because remember, all of Christianity hinges upon what? The resurrection of Christ. I think the evidence is beyond what anyone would need in a court case. Remember what the New Testament says. All you need is the faith of a mustard seed. When I was younger, I thought this is what it was. This much evidence, that much faith. I don't do that for anything in my life. I was not going to do it for a belief in God. When I began to study and research, it was literally that much evidence. And all I needed was the faith of a mustard seed to drop on top of there and do that. Okay? John chapter 2, verse 18. Now watch what this says. Okay? Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest us, seeing that thou doest these things? Okay, Jesus answered, Jesus speaking, pay attention, said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. But to a Jew, what temple were they thinking about? The physical temple in Jerusalem. Watch what it says in the next verse. Verse 20, then said unto the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, thou will rear it up in 3 days? They're kind of like, oh, you're either crazy, or we don't know what you're talking about, is what they're saying, right? Verse 21. But he spake of the temple of his body. Then watch what happened. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them that they believed the scriptures and the word was which Jesus said. Jesus said he was going to rise from the dead, and he rose from the dead. We'll do that, okay? All right, grab your Bibles, go to Romans 10, and we'll start landing this plane for you. So go to Romans chapter 10. So just back up from Corinthians, go to Romans 10. Very famous little piece of scripture for you here. So go to Romans 10 and go to verse 9. Okay, so we're going to look at Romans 10, verses 9 through 13. Okay. And it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe in the heart, and you shall be saved, and that salvation is everlasting, correct? Everlasting salvation, right? Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, here we go again, fulfilling scriptures, all back to prophecies again, whosoever believeth upon him shall not be ashamed. Okay, who is whosoever?
Whosoever.
It's 8 billion of us. 8 billion of us today can make a decision for Jesus Christ, or 8 billion of us can reject Jesus Christ today. But you're going to do something with Jesus Christ. You're going to do something with Jesus Christ because you're going to meet him sometime soon. Okay? 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, whosoever is what? All of us. And how many people can call upon the name of the Lord? Every one of us can, if you want that salvation in Christ. Now watch what verse 17 says. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's the word of God? What's the word of God? It's the Bible. That's why I've been using so many scripture verses with you, okay? I tell you all the time, you can argue with me all day, but you can't argue with the word of God. I can prove it to be true. Now you have to deal with that. So you just take the word, that's what I've been doing, piecing the word together, and hopefully the jigsaw puzzle makes a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants to give us a gift. It's our choice if we take that. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9. So watch this one, okay? And it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So we have one life. After this, we go to judgment day. Okay? So if you only get one life here, that eliminates what belief system that says you get many lives here? What does that eliminate?
Religion.
Reincarnation.
He said, you come back. I said, no, I get many lives. I said, really? He said, yes, I'm just throwing this life away. I'll get it right in the next one. So I said, wait a minute. What if you don't get a second life? You only get one life and then judgment day. He said, I haven't thought about that. I said, well, you're going to think about it today because that's crazy. You get one shot, judgment day. Matter of fact, if you had a meeting with your boss this coming Friday that determines if you keep your job and get a raise, will you get ready for that meeting on Friday, yes or no? Every single one of us will be very ready for that meeting. Okay, so we have a meeting with the boss of the universe, all right, and we have to be ready for that day and do that. Okay, but watch what verse 28 says. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So he's coming back. We have to be ready for that and do that. Okay? I was chatting with a guy in a coffee shop. He's a big muscled up guy, really strong guy. I looked at him. I said, sir, and do that. And then I said to her, I said, Nikki, do you remember the old adage, Nikki? It's not what you know, it's who you know. Remember that old adage back then? It's not what you know, it's who you know. She said, yes, I remember that. So if your uncle was Bill Gates and you wanted to work in the computer software business, do you have a job at Microsoft, yes or no? You got a job at Microsoft. It's as easy as can be, right? So it isn't what you know or what you did, it's who you know. Now, this is what I shared with her, and it made complete sense to her when I shared this with Nikki. John 14, verse 6 says, and Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh the Father but by me. He says, I am the only way to get where you want to go. I'm the who you're looking for to take you where you want to go. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 and 5. Who will have all men to be saved? How many people does God want saved? Eight billion. Eight billion. Wants everybody to repent and believe, okay? And to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now watch verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So there's God, there's man, one ticket, one pathway through there, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, I'm the who you need to get where you want to go. Okay? Last couple things. One, PBS. Very easy one. PBS. Have you heard PBS before? Okay, that's a TV station out of DC. Okay, it's called PBS, but it's going to mean a little different. What it means is perfect blood sacrifice. Okay, PBS, perfect blood sacrifice. Now, if you study the Old Testament, what you did in the Old Testament to be right with God is you took a lamb, but the lamb had to be perfect. Okay, it couldn't have a blemish on it, couldn't be retarded or broken leg. It had to be a perfect lamb. You put your hands upon the lamb. Your sin was transferred to the lamb, and your throat was cut, the throat of the lamb was cut, and your sins were missed and gone. Perfect blood sacrifice. So I asked Jews, how often did they do that back then? They went every year to the temple and did it. All right. I asked Jews today, do you still do a perfect blood sacrifice for your sins? What did Jews today say? Nope, we don't do it because the temple's not. So they try to do good works and good things, but can that get us to heaven? That can't get us to heaven, right? So I began to wrestle with this concept, but then as you read into the New Testament, everything fit together absolutely perfectly. We have Jesus who is tempted as we were, yet without sin. That made him perfect. He died on the cross. That was the sacrifice. And what did we say? The blood will cleanse you of all of your sin. So we have the perfect blood sacrifice, and it's Jesus Christ for the day we die. Because when you die, you're going to hand God something. You're going to hand him your good works. You're going to hand him something to get there, okay? But he's only going to accept a perfect blood sacrifice. So this shows us that other ways to get there can't get us there. I can't be a good guy to get there. I can't tell God, hey, I wrote 7 books. Can I please come in? It's taking a wafer, eating a wafer to cleanse you of your sins, confessing my sins to a priest. None of those things will work because he demands a perfect blood sacrifice, but you actually have that in who?
Jesus
Christ, right? So it all fits together with who that you're looking for and do that, okay? So you repent of your sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent just means a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. So if you're going this way in life and that's the cross, you just change your mind and you're going in a change of direction. That's all the word means. Then 1 Timothy 3, in the beginning of that there, without contrary, God is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. This is the whole point. God came in the flesh to die on the cross for your sins. When the blood was shed, you receive it, you're cleansed of how many sins? All your sins, and he proved who he was 3 days later by what? Rising from the dead. Okay? Years ago in college, I played college basketball with a guy by the name of Charles Barkley. Some of you heard of this guy. So he's from Birmingham area. And so whenever I drive through Birmingham, I always stop and see his mother and grandma. And so I stop at their house, spend some time with them and stuff. So one summer I was coming through there after speaking somewhere. And Charles was there, so we hung out for the day, had lunch stuff. So he went to go hit some golf balls. Some guy was teaching him how to hit a golf ball. It didn't work really well. And so I went with these guys. We're over there hitting golf balls on this driving range, and there's a big highway over there in Birmingham, right across the highway. There was a cemetery over there. We're hitting golf balls, and I said, "Hey, fellas, look." I looked. I said, "What?" I said, "You see that cemetery?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Guess what?" That's what I said. The great equalizer. Tall, short, rich, poor, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. We all go to the cemetery, don't we? I said, "You know what the real question is?" And they said, "What?" I said, "Where do you go after the cemetery?" See, we're all heading to a cemetery one day. The key is, where do I go, my spirit and soul go when I take my last breath and walk out of here and do that, okay? Last three letters, I told you last time, JPT, just passing through. Remember I said that, okay? You came to church today, you're gonna leave church, you were just passing through, okay? Most of us started high school, we left high school, 4 years later, we were just passing through. And on those same tombstones, I saw it one day, there's a date of birth and a date of death, and that little dash, and that dash just hit me, "Mark, you're just passing through this place." But I began to say, I'm either passing through to heaven or passing through to hell. I want to make sure I'm passing through to heaven. We made it nice and simple. Repent and believe upon who? The Lord Jesus Christ, and you have your answers when you walk out of here and do it, okay? All right, so when you walk out of here today, there's going to be a young person and each person down here to give you, grab one of these booklets when you walk out and explain what I meant, what I talked about today, but a little bit more detail so you can make sure you know, commit your life to Jesus Christ, know what you believe. If you're saved, take one as well, because our job is now to take these and share these with people, correct? Because you want to be what? And
courageous.
So I walked out of my place this morning and just to get some fresh air, kind of wake up a little bit. There was a lady over there smoking a cigarette. One of my neighbors I'd never met before. So I walked over and started talking to Brianna. Got a chance to witness to her, give her some material to read, because if I want to see her in heaven, I need to plant the seed and do that. So that's there for you, okay? And then the other thing to remember, last thing, is remember in the Bible, God calls everybody publicly to him. The thief on the cross was public. Today you'll be with me in paradise. The Ethiopian eunuch got baptized publicly. Just like it was Lillian did, okay? Got baptized publicly. So we want to be very public with our faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'll tell you I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ here behind a pulpit, but I'll also tell you I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of a coffee shop, downtown witnessing at State Farm Arena. I'll tell you the same thing, okay? So we always want to make sure we're public with our faith. If the Bible says today's the day of salvation, you want to get saved today, do it publicly. Do it right here today and do it, okay? All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for just a good time here. Thank you so much for all that I got to learn and study as I was putting this talk together. And the more I study and learn this, man, just all the little pieces come together. And once the pieces come together, it fits into the beautiful puzzle of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did for us with his life, God in the flesh, fascinating to think about. What he did on the cross, and then proving that he conquered death 3 days later. And then when he conquered death, Father, that means every one of us here is going to conquer death one time as well in the future. But we'll conquer it either to heaven or we're going to conquer it to hell, depending on what we do with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So heads down for a second, just keep your heads down for 1 second. Simple question for you. If you would die tonight and you're 100% assured you go to heaven when you die, just be honest, raise your hand up. If you're 100% assured you go to heaven when you die, 100% sure, no doubt about it. Okay, hands down. Okay, so let me change the question. If you would die tonight and you're not 100% assured, you're not sure you have everlasting life, because of a commitment to Jesus Christ. Be honest, just raise your hand up for me if you're not 100% sure and do that. Okay, pop your hand up. Anybody else there? And do that, okay? Okay, hands up. Okay, now. So what I want to do is, let's everybody stand up. We've been sitting long enough here. Everyone stand up for me. So David, can you guys come up here? And so if you're not 100% assured that you're going to heaven, I don't do a repeated prayer after me. I don't see the Bible, so I don't do that. The best thing is to talk to somebody. Make sure you know that you're a sinner. Commit your life to Christ and do that. Okay? And the Bible says today's the day of salvation. Okay, so if you're not sure, there were some hands up. If you're not sure, I just want you to walk up to somebody, talk with them about that, okay? Because last question for me is, can you guarantee me you're going to wake up tomorrow morning? Guarantee me? Nope. Every one of us in here has plans tomorrow. And 150,000 people are not getting to their plans tomorrow. They're going to walk out of here today, okay? And if they do, you got to make sure you walk to the right place, okay? So the Bible says the Holy Spirit draws us unto the cross. Today's the day of salvation. If you want to commit your life to Christ today and talk to somebody, just walk forward and chat with one of the men up front. Okay?
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Mark, for that word and that challenging word. Just wanted to echo that one more time. For anyone who wants to come forward at this time, now is your time. If you'd like to talk to somebody, we have people available that will be happy to speak with you. Just to clarify a little bit more about just what exactly the gospel means, what it means to follow Christ. Or if you just have a prayer need, if you'd like to come forward, maybe you've trusted Christ, but you'd like to be baptized, just like Lillian was this morning. Whatever your need is, come forward at this time as we sing together Living Hope. Let's all sing together.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
And do that. And then I said to her, I said, Nikki, do you remember the old adage, Nikki? It's not what you know, it's who you know. Remember the old adage back then? It's not what you know, it's who you know. She said, yes, I remember that. So if your uncle was Bill Gates and you wanted to work in the computer software business, do you have a job at Microsoft, yes or no? You got a job at Microsoft. It's as easy as can be, right? So it didn't what you know or what you did, it's who you know. Now, this is what I shared with her, and it made complete sense to her when I shared this with Nikki. John 14, verse 6 says, and Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh the Father but by me. He says, I am the only way to get where you want to go. I'm the who you're looking for to take you where you want to go. 1 Timothy 2, verse 4 and 5. Who will have all men to be saved? How many people does God want saved? Eight billion. Wants everybody to repent and believe, okay? And to come into the knowledge of the truth. Now watch verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So there's God, there's man, one ticket, one pathway through there, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying, I'm the who you need to get where you want to go. Okay? Last couple things. One, PBS. Very easy one. PBS. Have you heard PBS before? Okay, that's a TV station out of D.C. Okay, it's called PBS, but it's going to mean a little different. What it means is perfect blood sacrifice. Okay, PBS, perfect blood sacrifice. Now, if you study the Old Testament, what you did in the Old Testament to be right with God is you took a lamb, but the lamb had to be perfect. Okay, it couldn't have a blemish on it, couldn't be retarded or broken leg, it had to be a perfect lamb. You put your hands upon the lamb, your sin was transferred to the lamb, and your throat was cut, the throat of the lamb was cut, and your sins were missed and gone. Perfect blood sacrifice. So I asked Jews, how often did they do that back then? They went every year to the temple and did it. All right. I asked Jews today, do you still do a perfect blood sacrifice for your sins? What do Jews today say? Nope, we don't do it because the temple's not. So they try to do good works and good things, but can that get us to heaven? That can't get us to heaven, right? So I began to wrestle with this concept, but then as you read into the New Testament, everything fit together absolutely perfectly. We have Jesus who was tempted as we were, yet without sin. That made him perfect. He died on the cross. That was the sacrifice. And what do we say? The blood will cleanse you of all of your sin. So we have the perfect blood sacrifice, and it's Jesus Christ for the day we die. Because when you die, you're going to hand God something. You're going to hand him your good works. You're going to hand him something to get there, okay? But he's only going to accept a perfect blood sacrifice. So this shows us that other ways to get there can't get us there. I can't be a good guy to get there. I can't tell God, hey, I wrote 7 books. Can I please come in? It's taking a wafer, eating a wafer to cleanse you of your sins, confessing my sins to a priest. None of those things will work because he demands a perfect blood sacrifice, but you actually have that in who?
Jesus
Christ, right? So it all fits together with who that you're looking for and do that, okay? So you repent of your sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent just means a change of mind that leads to a change of direction. So if you're going this way in life and that's the cross, you just change your mind and you're going in a change of direction. That's all the word means. Then 1 Timothy 3, in the beginning of that there, without contrary, God is the mystery of God, who is God, was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. This is the whole point. God came in the flesh to die on the cross for your sins. When the blood was shed, you receive it, you're cleansed of how many sins?
All
your sins. And he proved who he was 3 days later by what?
Rising
from the dead. Okay? Years ago in college, I played college basketball with a guy by the name of Charles Barkley. Some of you heard of this guy. So he's from Birmingham area. And so whenever I drive through Birmingham, I always stop and see his mother and grandmother. And so I stop at their house, spend some time with them and stuff. So one summer I was coming through there after speaking somewhere, and Charles was there. So we hung out for the day, had lunch and stuff. So he went to go hit some golf balls. Some guy was teaching him how to hit a golf ball. It didn't work really well. And so I went with these guys. We're over there hitting golf balls on this driving range, and there's a big highway over there in Birmingham, right across the highway. There was a cemetery over there. We're hitting golf balls, and I said, hey fellas, look. I looked. I said, what? I said, you see that cemetery? I said, yeah. I said, guess what? That's what I said. The great equalizer. Tall, short, rich, poor, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. We all go to the cemetery, don't we? I said, you know what the real question is? And they said, what? I said, where do you go after the cemetery? See, we're all heading to a cemetery one day. The key is, where do I go, my spirit and soul go when I take my last breath and walk out of here and do that, okay? Last three letters, I told you last time, JPT, just passing through. Remember I said that, okay? You came to church today, you're gonna leave church, you were just passing through, okay? Most of us started high school, we left high school, 4 years later, we were just passing through. And on those same tombstones, I saw it one day, there's a date of birth and a date of death, and that little dash, and that dash just hit me, Mark, you're just passing through this place. But I began to say, I'm either passing through to heaven or passing through to hell. I want to make sure I'm passing through to heaven. And he made it nice and simple. Repent and believe upon who? The Lord Jesus Christ. And you have your answers when you walk out of here and do it. Okay? All right. So when you walk out of here today, there's going to be a young person and each person down here to give you, grab one of these booklets when you walk out. It'll explain what I meant, what I talked about today, but a little bit more detail. So you can make sure you know, commit your life to Jesus Christ, know what you believe. If you're saved, take one as well, because our job is now to take these and share these with people, correct? Because you want to be what?
Jesus Christ.
and
courageous.
So I walked out of my place this morning and just to get some fresh air, kind of wake up a little bit. There was a lady over there smoking a cigarette. One of my neighbors I'd never met before, so walked and started talking to Brianna. Got a chance to witness to her, give her some material to read, because if I want to see her in heaven, I need to plant the seed and do that. So that's there for you, okay? And then the other thing to remember, last thing, is remember in the Bible, God calls everybody publicly to him. The thief on the cross was public. Today you'll be with me in paradise. The Ethiopian eunuch got baptized publicly. Just like what was Lillian did, okay, got baptized publicly. So we want to be very public with our faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'll tell you I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ here behind a pulpit, but I'll also tell you I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in the middle of a coffee shop, downtown witnessing at State Farm Arena. I'll tell you the same thing, okay? So we always want to make sure we're public with our faith. If the Bible says today's the day of salvation, you want to get saved today, do it publicly. Do it right here today and do it. Okay? All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for just a good time here. Thank you so much for all that I got to learn and study as I was putting this talk together. And the more I study and learn this, man, just all the little pieces come together. And once the pieces come together, it fits into the beautiful puzzle of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did for us with his life, God in the flesh, fascinating to think about. What he did on the cross and then proving that he conquered death 3 days later. And then when he conquered death, Father, that means every one of us here is going to conquer death one time as well in the future. But we'll conquer it either to heaven or we're going to conquer it to hell, depending on what we do with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? So heads down for a second. Just keep your heads down for 1 second. Simple question for you. If you would die tonight and you're 100% assured you'd go to heaven when you die, just be honest, raise your hand up. If you're 100% assured you'd go to heaven when you die, 100% sure, no doubt about it. Okay, hands down. Okay, so let me change the question. If you would die tonight and you're not 100% assured, you're not sure you have everlasting life because of a commitment to Jesus Christ, be honest, just raise your hand up for me if you're not 100% sure and do that. Okay, pop your hand up. Anybody else there? And do that, okay? Okay, hands up. Okay, now. So what I want to do is, let's everybody stand up. We've been sitting long enough here. Everyone stand up for me. So David, can you guys come up here? And so if you're not 100% assured that you're going to heaven, I don't do a repeated prayer after me. I don't see the Bible, so I don't do that. The best thing is to talk to somebody. Make sure you know that you're a sinner, commit your life to Christ and do that, okay? And the Bible says today's the day of salvation, okay? So if you're not sure, there were some hands up, if you're not sure, I just want you to walk up to somebody, talk with them about that, okay? Because last question for me is, can you guarantee me you're going to wake up tomorrow morning? Guarantee me? Nope. Every one of us in here has plans tomorrow. And 150,000 people are not getting to their plans tomorrow. They're going to walk out of here today, okay? And if they do, you got to make sure you walk to the right place, okay? So the Bible says the Holy Spirit draws us unto the cross. Today's the day of salvation. If you want to commit your life to Christ today and talk to somebody, just walk forward and chat with one of the men up front. Okay?